There you go. And then finally, 2010. Dear Santa and helpers, I have been very good this year. I'm expecting a little sister. I don't want her. Mommy says her will be fun. I heard girls stink. I will trade you my sister when she comes from the stork for an elf. I want a race car and garage set for Christmas. There will be sugar cookies and burritos waiting for you. Thank you, Santa, Craig. If you get a chance to pick up this little book, it's really good. It's full of all these letters. So this morning, I wanted us to reflect for just a few minutes three words that are related to Christmas. And these three words are all found in Scripture, all found in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And again, all three words are related in some way to the Christmas story. And so after sharing these three words, I then want to go back and try to make an application from each of these words. The first is the word epiphany. Right. Now, the first two definitions that dictionary.com list for the word epiphany are these. An epiphany, number one, is a sudden intuitive perception of or insight into the reality or essential meaning of something, usually initiated by some simple, homely, or commonplace occurrence or experience. We maybe have used the word epiphany in this sense or in this way. When we recognize something maybe all of a sudden and we say, wow, I've just experienced an epiphany. Or we witness someone else realize something, maybe for the very first time. We might say a light bulb goes on and we say, wow, that person just had an epiphany. Well, the second definition though is the one really where we find its biblical significance, and especially its significance related to Christmas. So the second definition of an epiphany is an appearance or manifestation, especially of a deity. Our English word epiphany is a transliteration of the Greek word epiphaneia, which literally means to appear upon. And this word group occurs several times in the New Testament. And we're going to come back to this word at the conclusion of this lesson. Well, the word relates to Christmas as the Christmas festival or the Christian festival that is observed on January the 6th, which commemorates traditionally the manifestation of Jesus to the Gentiles in the persons of the Magi, the people that we read about visiting the baby Jesus in Matthew chapter 2. The 12 days of Christmas are related to the day of Epiphany. 12 days of Christmas run from December 25th to January 5th. So the eve of Epiphany, January 6th, is often called the 12th night. And again, we'll come back to this word Epiphany here in just a moment. A second word that we find in Scripture that is related to Christmas, we find in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, and it's the word Emmanuel. When the angel appears to Joseph and tells him about the Holy Spirit overcoming his fiancée Mary and prophesies about the coming Messiah, He tells Joseph that he will be called Emmanuel, and then gives the definition of that Hebrew word. It means God with us. And of course, we know that is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, as well as Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 8. Now, we know that Emmanuel is not the literal name of Jesus, but became his name metaphorically by describing a part of his messianic purpose, that is, God being among his people. What is interesting to me about this idea of God being with us, Jesus being referenced as Emmanuel, is not only is this mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 at the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, but think about the very last few verses of Matthew's gospel. Do you remember how the Great Commission concludes? Jesus says to his disciples, after telling them to go preach in the entire world and making disciples by baptizing them and teaching them, he says, I will be with you. So the Gospel of Matthew begins with this prophecy of Jesus coming into the world and being referenced as God being with us, and concludes with Jesus promising his disciples that he will remain with them, and now he remains with us. The third word related to Christmas is the word manger. This word occurs four times in Luke's gospel, three times in the Christmas story, in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, verse 12, and verse 16. The word translated as manger is derived from a verb which means to eat. And so really a better translation would probably be feeding trough. So think about that for just a minute. Our Savior's little head lay in a feeding trough. It rested where cattle had fed. To me, the manger suggests the humility of Jesus. Many theologians talk about the humility of Jesus. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2 here in just a moment. But the theological concept is condescension, which means the voluntary assumption of equality with a person regarded as an inferior. Now think about that for just a moment. A king who leaves his heavenly throne and lowers himself to become one of us. Paul so beautifully captures this idea in Philippians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 6, we have what many scholars refer to as the Christ hymn, who, speaking of Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So we have these three words related to Christmas that we find here in Scripture: Epiphany, Emmanuel, in manger. So let me suggest three applications of these three words as, again, we remain in the Christmas season. Number one, the 12 days of Christmas must become the 365 days of Christmas. Think for just a moment. You know, we've talked about joy, and we've talked about love, and we've talked about patience, in these Christ-like attitudes, in thinking about the advent of our Savior and how usually, normally, on Christmas Day, we are on our best behavior, right? I mean, we tend to be a little more patient. We tend to be a little more forgiving. We tend to let our children, and especially our grandchildren, get away with just about anything. You know? And the challenge of having that kind of an attitude, not just on Christmas Day, but every day of the year. And not just our own attitude, but how we hopefully think about Jesus. You know, I can remember back in my youth minister days, the last day of camp, summer camp, challenging all of the campers to take the week they have experienced at camp and try to live that out the rest of the year. You know, it's pretty easy to be a Christian at camp for younger people. You know? And maybe it's pretty easy for us to be a Christian on Christmas Day. And so the challenge of taking our attitudes and our thoughtfulness and everything that's wrapped up in Christmas Day and living that way 365 days of the year. Secondly, Emmanuel. Never will Jesus leave us. Never will Jesus forsake us. The writer of the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, and he's quoting Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why? Why would he say that? Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Again, reflecting back upon the Gospel of Matthew. It begins with the promise of God being near us. And it ends with Jesus promising He will always be with us. That's called an inclusio, all right? Where a writer begins with a theme and he ends with a theme. And the suggestion is everything in between is about that theme. And so we might say the Gospel of Matthew is all about God being with us through Jesus. And as He has promised, He remains with us today. And then finally, thinking about manger and suggesting the humility of Jesus, back to Philippians chapter 2. In humility, value others above yourself. Before Paul pins that beautiful Christ hymn that I read just a moment ago, he writes these words to us. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. I think early in the pandemic, in one sermon I preached, we emphasized this verse, this particular text. And to me, if there's one text that our society and our culture needs to grasp and to put into practice, it's this very text. Because we live in a world that is divided by everything, from a pandemic to politics to economic issues, political issues, all across the board, racial tension, everything. and how those things might change if, in humility, we valued others above ourselves. What would this world be like? What would this church be like if we valued each other more than we have in the past? Well, as I mentioned earlier, the word epiphany occurs several times in the New Testament, about a half a dozen times or so. It's a favorite word of the Apostle Paul. He uses it in 2 Thessalonians 2. He uses it in 2 Timothy chapters 1 and 4. He uses it in Titus chapter 2 three or four times. But my favorite is found in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 14. But I want to close this morning by reading the entire context of verse 14, which begins in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, and concludes in verse 16. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing, the epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to Him be honor and might forever. Amen. Yes, Jesus has appeared once. And as David mentioned in his communion thought, lived a perfect life for us, died for us. On the third day, God raised Him from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit. And a few days later, He ascended back to heaven. And Paul assures us that one day, Christ will appear again. And that's the epiphany. That is the appearance that hopefully we anticipate, that we are preparing for. Are you ready for that epiphany? We're going to stand and sing one more song this morning. And our prayer team will assume their position down front. And if someone this morning needs to respond to our invitation, has a prayer request, any need, if you need to be immersed this morning into Jesus, we're prepared to do that as well. Please come while we stand and sing.
Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Trouble and sorrow have vanished away. I have been redeemed. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Great is my joy as onward I go. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. All the way homeward my praises shall flow. I have been redeemed, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Precious indeed, my Savior to me. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Happy in glory, someday I shall be. I have been redeemed, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, we love you. Our Father, we thank you. Our Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity we have to be here today. We thank you for your Son, our Savior. We thank you so much for him coming to earth and living a perfect life and bringing salvation to us. We ask you please forgive us of our sins, strengthen us as we battle temptations. We ask you please guide us throughout the week. Help us to, Father, to as we go forth in this world, we pray that we can be a light for those around us, not just during this Christmas time, but all year round. Help us to, Father, to be your light in this world and to make a difference around people that we are with. We ask you please bless our elders, bless our deacons, and bless our ministers. We thank you for the work that they do here at Lamar Avenue. We ask you please bless our teachers and all those working behind the scenes. We thank you so much for their servant heart. We ask you please encourage them and help all of us to encourage them. We ask you please bless us throughout this week. Help us to, Father, to go with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.